Well, good morning, Hope Church. My name is Mark, and I'm the pastor here at Hope Church. I'm so pleased that you can join us for our online service. A very warm welcome to wherever you may be watching, whether in London or even in different parts of the world. You're really welcome to our online service. Do engage on the chat, do put in prayer requests, do chat through the sermon, and we'd love to hear from you. Now, we're in a preaching series looking at the life of Elisha, the Old Testament prophet. And the title of the preaching series is Ridiculous Faith. And over the last few weeks, we've been looking at burning some plows. We've been looking at digging some ditches. And last week, we looked at gathering some jars. Today, we have a story that comes from 2 Kings and chapter 5. And is about a man called Naaman. Now, Naaman was the commander of the Syrian army. But Naaman had leprosy. Leprosy is a serious skin disease that I'm sure most of you will know. But leprosy didn't just disfigure the outward appearance of a man. Leprosy also had a huge emotional, psychological, and behavioral impact upon an individual who suffered from leprosy. Leprosy affected the whole person. A leper was an outcast in society. And leprosy in the Bible is a vivid and a visible metaphor for sin. It shows us vividly the effect that sin has on outward appearance, on the inner man, on the psychological impact of who we are, on everything about a human and an individual. It shows us the horrific impact of sin. And the story of Naaman is one of the most powerful in the Old Testament that really foreshadows the power of the gospel in Jesus Christ. So we're going to look at three things this morning. We're going to look at the situation that Naaman was in. We're going to look at the struggles that Naaman went through. And then the surrender to God, which led to his miracle. Firstly, the situation. You see, Naaman was in a situation like so many who are not Christians in this world. He had a deep need for God. Let's pick up the story in 2 Kings chapter 5 and read verse 1. Naaman, the commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man, and he was held in high favor, because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Naaman had done well in life. He had prospered. He'd come up through the ranks to become the commander of the Syrian army. It's interesting, we're told that God was with him and he won battles because God was with him. He was rich. He had servants. He had huge amounts of possessions. He'd made a good life for himself. But at the end of verse 1, it says this: despite all of Naaman's status and power and possessions, it says, but he was a leper. Now, leprosy is not necessarily fatal there and then, but it's like a living death. He was haunted everywhere he went by his leprosy. It was a condition that would lead to his social isolation. He would be quarantined away from the rest of society. You can read it in detail in Leviticus 13. It's very much relevant for today. In 2020, we have an understanding of what isolation and quarantine means. Well, that was the future for Naaman. That was his life, to be quarantined away from society for the rest of his life. And nothing could change that. Nothing he did could change that. But doctors had nothing that they could do to stop leprosy. There was no education, there was no behavioral change, there was no sacrifice he could make that would mean that he would be healed. You see, Naaman is a picture of the human condition, that we are broken, that we are messed up, that we are not perfect, that the human problem is the human heart. And whatever success we may have, and whatever status we may have, and whatever may be going well in our life, there is always a but, dot, dot, dot. I have a great job. I have a wonderful family. I have loads of friends, but no purpose to my life. I have thousands of followers on Instagram. I'm an influencer on YouTube, but life is meaningless. Freddie Mercury, the lead singer of Queen, once famously said this. He said, "I had success, world idolization, and all that money could buy, but I was the loneliest man in the world." We all have a but. However good things are in your life, there is always a but. And that need can only be filled by God. The situation we are in 2020, that the world is in this time, is that it needs God. Whatever is good, whatever is going well, whatever we see on our TV screens, there is a but. We need God. And you see, Naaman had a need, and then he heard from God. Let's listen and read on in verse 2. And verse 3. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would that my lord were with the prophet," that's Elisha, "who was in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy." Naaman had a need. And there was a witness who told him where to go. This witness was incredibly unlikely. It was a slave girl, a girl who'd been taken as a prisoner of war and was serving in the household of Naaman. She was the most unlikely evangelist you could ever imagine. But this little girl had a genuine faith in God, and she gave an accurate testimony. Naaman needs to go to Elisha, the man of God, and he will be healed of his leprosy. One sentence that led to Naaman's life being transformed. Now, Romans 10 and verse 14 says, "How can they not know if they have not heard?" You see, in today's world where there is such a need for God, there needs to be people like you and me who will tell the world that there is an answer to that need, and that is Jesus. That Jesus can change people's life. And God needs us to take on the role of speaking about Jesus to those around us. Now, I'm not a great evangelist. I'm not. But I remember one time after we'd all graduated from university, a whole bunch of friends, and we met in London one weekend. And we'd been out for the evening, we'd out for dinner, we'd out for a few bits and pieces on a Saturday evening. And on the Sunday, a bunch of us who were Christians got up in the morning early to go to church. One of the guys who was there was called Richard, and he wasn't a Christian. He'd been to a few events, he'd been to church a few times, but he wasn't a Christian. And for whatever reason, that particular morning, I said to him, "Rich, do you want to come to church? A bunch of us are going, do you want to come to church?" I fully expected him to say, "No, I'm going to sleep. Now I can't be bothered." But he said, "Yeah, okay, I'll come." Took a quick shower, got changed, came to church. that Sunday he became a Christian. He would describe it as the day the curtains opened and the light and the truth of Jesus made sense to him. He's now a missionary in Turkey. My invitation was faltering. My invitation was one that I fully expected to be denied. But it was a moment that led to him hearing the word of God, putting his faith and trust in Jesus, and being saved. The situation we are in is that the world needs Jesus. And it needs to hear about Jesus through you and I. Now let's look what then happens to Naaman when he hears the word of God. When he hears about what Elisha tells him to do. Because he struggles. He struggles like so many who aren't believers. Let's read verse 4 to 6. So Naaman went in and told his lord, his master, the king of Syria, "Thus and so the girl from Israel has told me to go to Elisha." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So Naaman went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." You see, what happened here? You see, there's a struggle that Naaman is going through. And the struggle is this. He's heard, "I'm going to go to Elisha. I'm going to go to this man of God." So he thinks he can bargain with God. Naaman is a great personality. He's a great name in Syria. He has money. He has status. He has power. And he thinks that he can name drop God. He thinks that his healing will come because he has a letter from the king of Syria. He thinks the letter from the king of Syria will impress Elisha. You see, he believes that he can manipulate God because of his connections. He can manipulate the man of God because of who he knows. Let me tell you, it's not about who you know on this earth. No earthly king, no earthly personality can dictate to the King of Kings. So that's one way. See, Naaman is trying to bargain with God by this letter, by his connections. But he also thinks he can bargain with God by paying for his healing, by paying for his salvation. You read there in verse 5, second half of verse 5, this impressive treasure trove that he brings. 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. This is his gift that he's going to bring to Elisha that he thinks will result in his healing. He's trying to bribe God. He's trying to bribe God with a bunch of gold, silver, and clothes. But God cannot be brought. You see, on the outside, a man may be wealthy. On the outside, a man may have many possessions, but deep down, each one of us is the same. Each one of us is impoverished before God. God treats the billionaire and the beggar on the streets the same. God cannot be brought with anything in this world. Salvation is a free gift, because it was purchased with the precious, most wonderful substance of all, the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross. So Naaman needs to understand that he's to stop struggling with God. He's to accept God's grace. We have nothing as humans to bargain with God. Nothing. Nothing we bring to the table, nothing. We are only to receive the gift of salvation. That's his first struggle. He tries to bargain with God. The second struggle is he then takes an offense at God's ways and God's instructions. Let's read on verse 7 to verse 12. And when the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard that the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let this man, Naaman, come to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came to Elisha's house with his horses and chariots. He came and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent a messenger to him saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry, and he went away saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God, and maybe wave his hand over me and cure the leper. Are there not Abana and Pharpha, the rivers in Damascus, better than all the rivers in Israel? Can I not wash in them and be clean?" So Naaman turned and went away in a rage. Naaman was this powerful war hero. You can imagine the scene. He turns up at Elisha's humble dwelling with his chariots and his horses and his servants. They come with a great kind of puff of smoke and a great kind of like, "Here come the chariots, here come the horses, here comes Naaman, the commander of the Syrian army." He's trying to impress. He's a big shot. And he's trying to say to Elisha, "Look at me." But Elisha cuts Naaman down to size. He doesn't even step out the door to talk to Naaman. It's a little bit rude, really, but he sends out a messenger with instructions. And the instructions are incredibly simple. Go down to the River Jordan and wash 7 times. Then you'll be healed. Naaman thinks this is outrageous. So he drives off in a huff. This guy didn't even see me. He sent out a servant. He was so rude. He then told me to do the most pathetic thing. I'm off. Naaman didn't like the message. He didn't like the man of God. And he didn't like the methods. He said, basically, "I should have stayed at home. There's better rivers in my place. There's better rivers in Syria that I could wash in. Why am I bothered to come to Elisha and come to Israel?" But only God's remedy could deal with this disease. You see, today, people struggle that Jesus is the only answer. Some people reject the gospel. They reject the good news about Jesus Christ because they say it's not intellectually stimulating enough. But they're the same people who still have a need in their life. They're the same people who are left with the leprosy of the sin of the human heart. Here's the thing. If God says it's the River Jordan and bathe 7 times, you better take a dip. If God says it's Jesus, the answer is Jesus. Salvation comes through Jesus alone. The one who will fill your deepest need is Jesus alone. Then you better humble yourself and come to the cross. Acts 4 and verse 12 says this, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven or given on earth by which men are saved. People struggle with God. They try and bargain with God. They try and use their wealth. They try and use their status. They try and use the good things that they have done. They take offense at the simplicity of the command to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, to repent and turn from your sinful ways and follow Jesus. But let me tell you this morning, salvation is found in no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. Naaman then finally surrenders to God and is miraculously healed. Let's look at that surrender. We've seen the situation he's come from, we've seen the struggle that he has, and now look at the surrender. Verse 13 to 14. But Naaman's servant came near and said to him, my father, it is a great word the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? So Naaman went down and dipped himself 7 times in the River Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh, this is wonderful, was restored like the flesh of a little child. And he was made clean. Another messenger comes to Naaman, another witness, another unlikely source of an invitation to go to God comes to Naaman. It's his servant, it's one of Naaman's servants. And he comes to Naaman with logic and reasoning. And he basically says, look, Naaman, if Elisha had asked you to do something really difficult, you would have done it. If Elisha had asked you, Naaman, to climb 20 mountains, to give away your possessions, to kill 20 oxen, to defeat a strong man, then you would have done that on his command. So why won't you do a lesser thing? Why won't you do what he asks? Go and bathe in the River Jordan 7 times. I want to tell you, the good news of Jesus Christ is beautifully simple. Beautifully simple. I love this, sum it up. It's ABCD. The good news of Jesus Christ is A, it's admit. Admit that we are wrong. Admit that we have sinned. Admit that we have fallen short of the glory of God. It's B, it's believe. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. That Jesus, 2,000 years ago, was born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, died on the cross in my place, and 3 days later rose again. It's confess with my lips that Jesus is Lord. It's confess that Jesus is the one that I will live for. It's confess with my lips that Jesus is Lord. And D, it is do. It's repent. It's turn from my wicked ways and follow Jesus. ABCD. That's the simplicity of the gospel. That's the simplicity of what Elisha asked Naaman to do. Wash 7 times and you will be healed. And Naaman came to his senses and he surrendered to God. Let me encourage some of you. Let me encourage some of you. Friends and families who are unbelievers right now. Friends and families who don't know Jesus. Keep sharing. Keep witnessing. Keep telling them about Jesus. Keep inviting them to watch Hope Church online. Keep praying for them. Keep that invitation coming. Keep that word of encouragement coming. Because there'll be a moment when they come to their senses. Don't give up on anyone. Don't give up. Be the witness. Be the one who gives the invitation, who shares the logic, who tells someone about Jesus Christ. And then verse 14 is the most wonderful, beautiful picture of life, of a life that is made clean when it surrenders to Jesus. Because in verse 14, you have Naaman the leper with death over him physically, wrinkled body, internally pained, outcast of society. But he washes himself 7 times in the river Jordan and he comes out with his skin clean. He's made whole. And the Bible says, he says his skin is like a child, like a baby. In other words, he is born again. He's born again. Naaman is born again. That's the beautiful picture of what happens when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. When we surrender to God, we begin a new life in Christ. Now, I just want to finish by reading on a few verses. Because what we have in the next few verses, verses 15 to 19, is it explains to us what a surrendered life looks like. You see, often we say, oh, someone surrenders their life to God. Praise the Lord. Wonderful. But what does a surrendered life to God look like? And Naaman shows us. He shows us in the next few verses. He makes some incredible steps of maturity. Let's read verse 15. Here's the first one. He goes public. Then Naaman returned to the man of God, he and all his company. And he came and he stood before him. And he said, behold, I know that there is no God in all the earth but the God of Israel. So accept now a present from your servant. What's he doing there? He's declaring his allegiance with God. He's nailing his color to the mast. He's saying, look, I know without a shadow of a doubt that it is the God of Israel who lives. And this is a beautiful, again, foreshadow of baptism. Of course, Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan. And when we are baptized, those who become Christians, those who give a particular faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, a declaration of the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, baptism is a visible public declaration of their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I love baptisms. I love baptisms at Hope Church. We have Krispy Kreme donuts and we celebrate. It's the most joyful, wonderful day. Why? Because it's a day when people go public. They declare that Jesus is Lord. They declare that they've left their sinful life behind and they've chosen to follow Jesus. It's not the moment they become a Christian, but it's a picture. It's a picture of dying to the old self and beginning a new life in Christ. Taking a bath, washing away the old and coming out new. Going down and dying to self and coming out new life in Christ. So you see, Naaman shows a great step of maturity in surrender to God by nailing his colors to the mast, visibly and publicly declaring that God of Israel is the one who he serves. Let's read on a little bit further, because there's a second sign of maturity that we can see. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives before whom I stand, I will receive no gift. And he urged Naaman to take it, but Naaman refused. Then Naaman said, if not, please let there be given to your servant 2 mule loads of earth from now, so your servant will not offer burnt offerings or sacrifice to any other god but to the Lord. The second example of maturity we have from Naaman here, the second step of maturity that shows his surrender to God, is that he is willing to lay his resources down at the Lord's disposal. You see, he comes to Elisha and he offers him gifts and resources. He's had the healing. So the old Naaman would probably not have offered anything, but he's had the healing. He's met with the Lord, but he wants to now give something in recognition of what he has received. Now, Elisha says, no. Elisha says, I don't want your gifts. I don't want your money. I don't want any of that. But you see, Naaman understood something. He understood that he owed everything to God. You and I, we cannot repay Jesus for what he has done for us on the cross. We cannot. But we can lay what we have at the Lord's disposal. We can give him our time, our talents, and our treasures. We can give him what is ours that he has given us already. We can offer that up to him. And the third thing, the third step of maturity that Naaman says, let's just read the last couple of verses up to verse 15. In this matter, may the Lord pardon your servant when my master goes into the house of Rimmon to worship there, leaning on my arm, and how I bow myself in the house of Rimmon. When I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon your servant in this matter. Elisha said to him, go in peace. What's happening here is that Naaman is saying, look, I want to make sure that I stand out for God and I don't bow down or pay adherence to these other gods, Rimmon, and the other gods of my culture and my country. He wants to be different. He's prepared to abandon his old way of living. He wants to live for Yahweh and Yahweh alone. He had to go back to a world where he would be the one believer in Yahweh. Go back to a culture where his belief in the God of the Bible would be unique, and he would be battered on every side by demands of what he was expected to do. He would have to go through the motions in some instance. And Elisha says to him, go in peace. Because Elisha knew that Naaman was now different. His life was transformed. He'd surrendered his life to God. He'd gone public by declaring with his lips that the God of the Bible was the God he served. He had offered up what he had to God, and he was willing to leave his old ways behind. God had changed Naaman's heart. And we have a beautiful picture there of what a surrendered life looks like. Naaman is a foreshadowing of the gospel. The leprosy of sin is dealt with on the cross once and for all. Because of Jesus, because of the cross, because of the blood of Jesus, we can be made whole. Our sins can be washed away. For the first time in our life, we can say, because of the blood of Jesus, I am made clean. I am made whole. Now, I want to conclude by just saying this. The world we're living in today, the situation we are in as we look on our TV screens and we look around us, tells us we need God. The world struggles with the gospel. It tries to bargain its way to God, or it takes offense at the simplicity of the gospel. But the only way to eternal life, the only way to fulfillment on this life is surrender. When we surrender to God, we are cleansed and made whole. Naaman is a picture of so many people in the world today. They're in great need. They're struggling with the gospel, They're struggling with the message of our Lord Jesus Christ. But all that we would pray and all that we would share, that they would come to a place to surrender in the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, to be made whole, to have their lives transformed, and to live in that transforming power because of what Jesus has done. I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray a prayer. And if you're watching this and you're not a Christian and you don't know the wonderful cleansing power of our Lord Jesus Christ that makes us whole, I would ask you to pray this prayer with me. When we get to the end, I would say, please get in touch. Please contact us via the Hope Church website. Please email the address that will come up on your screen. We would love to give you a Bible. We would love to talk to you. We would love to help you work through what it means to take steps of maturity, to walk in the joy and the wonder of knowing Jesus. Let's pray. Lord, I know that I have sinned, that I've done wrong, and that I have messed up. Today, I choose to believe in Jesus, who lived the perfect life, who died on the cross in my place, and 3 days later rose again. I choose today to leave behind my old ways and turn to follow Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for cleansing me, for making me whole. Thank you for your Holy Spirit coming to live and dwell inside of you. I ask for your help to walk with you each day. Amen. And I would encourage you, if you prayed that prayer, do tell someone. Do put it on the chat, do email us or tell someone who is a Christian, someone that you know loves Jesus, do tell them. Do share that wonderful news. Now, just before I finish, I want to say this. This is the very last thing I'm going to say. Look at the other characters in the passage. The servant girl, Elisha, and the servant of Naaman. All three of them play a part in the salvation of Naaman, in his miraculous healing. I want to encourage each one of us to be bold this week in sharing Jesus, to not hold back, to do our part. You may feel an unlikely witness. You may feel weak. You may feel like you're not qualified. Well, God would say to you, play your part. Tell someone the good news. Tell someone what they need to hear, and God will do the rest. Father God, as we go into this week, thank you for the blood of Jesus, which cleanses us and makes us whole. Help us to be bold witnesses in sharing that good news with others this week. In Jesus' name, amen.